This podcast is a production of Bridges Church. Please visit us at www.bridgeschurch.net.
Good to see you guys in the room. Good to have everybody online. Hey, if you're in the room, I want you to say something to somebody around you. Just say a real big good morning to everybody. Go ahead and turn around. If you're online, would you type that in? It is so strange not to have people here. We have a few here, but to have everybody online, and we're still not quite used to that. And we miss everybody. We just want to let everybody know we miss you and miss being around you and just being together. And we're praying, as all are, that this time, this season we're going through will end someday, and it will end someday, and that we can all be back together. And as we wait for that day, we still are going to continue on. Jesus is still the same. He alone is worthy, and we are here to worship him and to talk about him and to react to him and to understand who he is. Today, we are starting a new series we're calling Why Christmas. It is December. The building here has been decorated for that. The world is going to stop here on the 25th. It's an interesting thing. Why does the world stop? Why do we have the day off? Even the government takes the day off on that day. Stores have already changed over, and they have a reason for doing that. And the radio stations are changing, and they have a reason for that. We are decorating our homes. They're decorating cities. Everybody is doing something, and everybody has a different reason, probably, for getting ready for Christmas. For some, it's getting together with family, or this year especially, maybe longing to be together with family. But it is Christmas, and we want to talk about why Christmas, why is it so important, and why do we want to celebrate it wherever we may be and however we may be with God and what he wants for us today as we look at that. Children are being asked, and maybe you're being asked as well, what do you want for Christmas? And I don't know if you've had that question asked of you. Some of you already have your Amazon list if you're a little kid. Maybe you have your own list getting ready. And you go, this is what I'd like to have for Christmas. When I was in middle school, I wanted one thing for Christmas, and that was a tent. I wanted a tent for Christmas, and there was two reasons I wanted a tent. The first one was I was in Boy Scouts, and my very first camping experience, they put me with Arnold Lynch. And Arnold, if you're still around, I'm going to tell on you, because the very first camping trip I ever took, I was with Arnold. He's a couple of years older than I am, and Arnold told me piece by piece every scene from the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, and even acted it out for me. And that night, I was so scared, I could not sleep. And as part of the night, we had an army tent, one of those without a floor. And it poured down rain. And Arnold had the forethought to have a blow-up raft as his cushion, okay? And the story became so big that we eventually told people he floated out of the tent because it had no floor. I don't know if that actually happened. I just know I got wet. I stayed up all night, so I begged my parents for my own tent, and I would never be with Arnold Lynch again. He scared me, and it was not a good experience. The tent I got was a cool tent, but it was heavy. It had a floor that was fire resistant, and it made noise whenever you moved. And it had those big metal poles on the outside, and the thing weighed at least 50, 60 pounds. And the very first time I went camping on that, the bag you took it out of, you know what I'm talking about? You take it out of the bag, and it never goes back in the original bag. It wouldn't go in there, so we had to buy a big duffel bag. And the first time I ever took it out, me and my friend Gray Weeks had to carry this thing. And we had to, like, change off every 20 yards or so. It was so heavy we couldn't carry it. But I loved having that tent. And this is the second reason I wanted it, because I loved going out with my friends in the woods and just hanging out, building a fire, cooking a meal, being with my friends, telling stories, just being together was a great experience. And I loved every moment of that. Later on, I traded that tent in for a different tent, and that was a tent that I flew out to L.A. with my best friend with. We flew our bicycles out there. We landed at LAX, rode our bicycles 30 miles to Malibu, and camped up on this cliff. And at night, we would just sit there and look at the ocean. I ingrained that view in my mind of watching the sunset there on the West Coast into the ocean and just hanging out and being together. I traded that tent in many years later for a different tent, one that I could go with my boys to Camp Ravenknob. And when they were little, they were in Cub Scouts. We used to go camping. And I loved hanging out with them and our friends that would go and just being together and experiencing that. But I always go back in my mind to that very first tent that I got at Christmas. So this year, if I ask you, if I could sit down and talk to you and just share some stories, what are those things that you always wanted? Or maybe if I ask you today, what is it you want this Christmas? Is it a thing? Is there a thing that you'd like to have that you're dreaming about and love to experience? Or is it experience itself? Is there somewhere you want to go? You want to be given something? Or for many of us, What do you want for Christmas? Maybe just being with family and our church family again and opening that back up. And we long for that. We'd like to have that. But I think if we're really going to deal with this question, why Christmas, we have to kind of go back and go, Jesus, what do you want for Christmas? And to talk to the Father and say to the Father, what do you want for Christmas this year? What would make you happy? What is it you desire from us? Because it is Jesus' birthday. We celebrate, right? What is it that God wants for us? To get an answer to that, I want to go to the end of the Bible. You ever gotten a book before and you go to the end of the book to see how it's going to turn out? I think we can find a real good answer about Christmas by going to Revelation. If you have your Bibles, turn it to Revelation 21. We're going to be looking at just a passage, the first four verses, a picture of heaven, of where one day God's going to fulfill everything he's ever desired for us as humankind and for himself. Revelation 21 is a passage that talks about a vision that the apostle John had. John was an interesting person. He was a theologian and a fisherman. And God gave him this vision, this understanding of what was going to happen when everything is wrapped up and everything's perfect and everything is the way that God wants it to be. And I think by looking at that, we can get some understanding of what Christmas is all about and why Christmas even exists and why Jesus came to the earth. Revelation chapter 21, 1 through 4 reads like this. John is writing about this vision. He said, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man, and he will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away.'" Before we kind of explore this some more, let's pray for a second. Father God, grant us a greater vision of what you're going to do and where everything is heading. All of human history is heading to that moment we just read about. And that's what you desire for us. That's what you've created everything to head toward. And give us a greater vision of who you are and an understanding of what your word is about, an understanding of you, and make it real for us in our lives. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. When you read this passage, you see the idea that this earth will be gone one day. And all the junk that we deal with here is going to be gone. There'll be a new heaven, a new earth. And it says that Jerusalem will be new. And it's interesting, I always pictured the ancient city of Jerusalem as being new and coming down out of heaven. But I read this differently now, where Jerusalem simply means place of peace, place of shalom. That's what Jerusalem is, Jerusalem. It's the place of God's perfect peace. It's the place of God's wholeness, where everything is made right and everything's good. The thing that he desires for us, to find peace and to find joy and to find fulfillment in him. And that city is going to be full of those with faith. And it's going to come down like a bride. And we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, how the church is the bride of Christ. And it will come down. And he says, when that happens, there'll be no more mourning, no more death. Isn't that a great thing? No more pain, no more tears, no more sadness, no more brokenness. This world will be made right. And that's what God decided to do. That's what he wants to do. And we will be there, those who know Jesus, and we will experience that. And if you look at verse 3, I think there's some things to unpack in verse 3. It says this, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man, and he will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be them with them as their God." A couple things to point out to them, to you. It says that we will be his people, and God will be our God. I want you to understand that this is a phrase that's repeated throughout Scripture. It's something that goes on and on that God keeps repeating over and over. And when God repeats something, he says, I want you to get this. In Leviticus, after the Exodus, when the people moved out of slavery, and God said, I want to tell you what it's going to be like now. You're going to be my people, and I'm going to be your God. We're going to have a relationship together, and this is what it's going to look like. I'm God, and I'm looking for a group of people that will be my people, and they'll have my name. And we'll have a relationship together, and I'm going to be there for you. This thing is repeated again in the prophets, where Zechariah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel all repeat the same phrase after the exile, after the split of the kingdom, and they were sent away because of their rebellion to God. But he gave them this promise, one day I will be your God, and you will be my people. And it's repeated in the New Testament in 1 Corinthians where God repeats it again. He says, I want you to get this. This is my desire for you. It's always my desire for mankind, God's saying. I want to be your God, and I want you to be my people. And I want to have that relationship with you, and I want you to recognize me, and I want to be in fellowship with you. And then the way he puts it in this verse is such an interesting thing. Notice what it says, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man, and he will dwell with them. Some of your versions will use a different form of the word dwelling. Look at it. Does it say tabernacle or tent? Because that's the word. God says, I'm going to put my tabernacle with you. I'm going to put my tent with you because God cannot be housed in a building. God's going to place his tent there. And he's going to relate to us in a different way. And we're going to hang out with God and just experience his presence. And that's a beautiful thing. God will put his tent down. Get that picture in your mind. It's the same thing in Exodus where God had the tabernacle built so Moses could spend time with him and see him face to face. But that's going to be for all of us. So what's that got to do with Christmas? Well, when you look at John, again, the theologian, God used him to kind of explain the Christmas message in a different way. If you have your Bibles, turn to John chapter 1, because you'll notice in John chapter 1, there are no angels, there are no shepherds, there is no manger, there's no Mary and Joseph. We're going to start with John chapter 1 in this series because I want to get us a different view of Christmas. We get so used to all the different people around there. John says, I want to paint a different picture for you. Let me tell you what Christmas is all about. John chapter 1 verse 14, he explains his understanding of Christmas. This is what he wrote. And the Word represents the Son of God. The Word is Jesus. The Word means the one who organized everything from the very beginning. John takes us from the very beginning of before creation and walks us through this. He says, the Word became flesh and he dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory. The glory is the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. God came to earth. And he said, he dwelt among us. You know what that word is? You could guess, right? He put his tent down. That's exactly what it says. He put his tent down in our midst. And he became one of us. He was a baby. And he came and he put his tent down in the world so he could relate to us, so he could be with us. And we could see his grace and truth. We could see his beauty. And I love this, that God became a baby. And then he became a child. And then he became an adolescent. And then he became an adult. And he shared the truth of God. And he shared the grace of God. And so people that saw him loved him. And they knew him. But here's one of the things that he did that I loved about Jesus. He came to be fully present with the people around him. The scripture tells us this over and over again, that Jesus was really about being fully present wherever he was. He wanted to be present with people. And I want you to get this, and I want to get this too. God wants to be fully present with you. And he wants to be fully present with me. When Jesus walked the earth, look at some of the verbs that are used around him. It'll say something like this. He looked at, or he saw, or he noticed someone. He was fully engaged with them. It says he touched people. Why? So they could understand he was close. He would touch people no one else would touch. He wanted them to understand he was present with them. There's times it appears that he ignores people. And why does he do that? Because he wants them to come to him and they'll cry out to him, or they'll repeat things over and over, or they'll turn to him, or like the woman who had the issue of blood who reached out and grabbed him, and he says, who did it? He wanted her attention and she came to him because he wanted to be fully present with them. Do we understand what that means? He wants to be fully present in our lives. And not only that, he taught us how to be fully present with his Father. The scriptures tell us that early in the morning, he would go off and cut out all distractions and eliminate everything around him. And he would say, it's time to speak with my dad, Abba. And he would spend time just fully present with his Father. One time, he prayed all night and just talked to his Father all night long. He was fully present with his dad. Think about that, though. How hard is it to be fully present for us? I was reading Mark Batterson's new book, at least a chapter at it. It's all they've released so far. And he talked about a study about how hard this is for human beings. It says this, according to psychologists Matthew Killingsworth and Daniel Gilbert, the average person spends 46.9% of their time thinking about something other than what they're doing in the present moment. We're half present half the time, which means we're half alive. Do you ever feel that way? You ever been around somebody, you're talking to them, you realize they have no idea what you're saying? You ever talk to someone that's on their phone and they're going, but they're not listening? Have you ever done that yourself? You ever had a computer open and your phone open and people around and just not even knowing that they're around? You ever stood in a line somewhere and everybody's looking like this and no one's fully present with the people around them? About half the time, we're not fully present with the people around us and we're not fully present with God. And that means, as Mark Batterson writes, really half alive. Because when we're fully present, we're more alive. There was another study that was done in 2017 by Roland McCrady, part of the National Institute of Health. And he did a study, and basically what they came up with this is that you and I were created for social interaction, more so than any other creature on the planet. And there's some cool things that happen when we're fully engaged, when we're fully and present with people. As long as it's a good relationship, it makes us healthy. Isn't that amazing? When you're in a good relationship with people and you're this constant relationship with them where there's harmony and there's peace and you're talking and you're loving one another and you're encouraging one another, it actually makes you healthier. Something else it does, it makes our hearts sync up. Did you know that? It's most present in a mother with her newborn baby. Their hearts actually sync up. Our hearts are not like metronomes that beat at a steady beat all the time. When you're around people you love, your heart starts beating at the same rate as theirs. It's an amazing thing. We were hardwired for that. And we were hardwired to have the heart of God and have our hearts beat with his heart. And the interesting thing is, when we don't have that, our bodies are unhealthy and we lack peace. James Lynch did a study and he found that loneliness, people who experience loneliness all the time, they have a greater risk for heart disease than lack of exercise, smoking, excessive alcohol consumption, and obesity combined. Loneliness is more deadly than those things. Isn't that amazing that God created us to be present, to really have people around us? And we were made to be fully present with God. If you had to ask me based on this, what kind of is the main point today? What are we trying to get across? What I want to really say, it's simply this, is that God desires to be fully present in our lives so we can be fully present with him. If you ask God, what do I want from you for Christmas? I want you to be fully present with me. I want you to be locked in on me. I want you to be focused on me. I want us to walk together. I want us to be together. If you look at Scripture, why were Adam and Eve in the garden? It tells us in the cool of the morning, God would go to be with them. He wanted to be fully present with them. And when they fell, when they sinned, it opened a door to separation from God. When they walked away from God, there was a separation and they lacked the peace of God. They lacked the righteousness of God. And they were separated from God. And the same thing happens to us. God is crying out to us, I want to be present with you. So why did Jesus come? Jesus came so you and I could be fully present with God. As Luke prayed for us early on, it's this simple thing that Jesus came to this world as a human being to live a perfect life, a holy life. And then he could go to the cross and die for us so that we could be made righteous, that Jesus Christ's righteousness covers us so that we can be present with God. We don't need a priest. We don't have to go to the temple. We don't have to go to the tabernacle. Because of Jesus, we can experience him now, the presence of God. And I'll be honest with you, I think I overlook that way too often. I get sucked into the daily stuff. Do you? Do you get sucked into the daily stuff? We look at Christmas, I got to buy presents, I got to get this ready, I got that ready. And we miss the presence of God entirely because we're so busy doing the stuff of Christmas, we miss the whole reason for Christmas, which is the presence of God in our life that Jesus made possible by dying on the cross, forgiving our sins and rising again to be our advocate all so that God could be present in our life and we could be fully present with him. Jesus did something I think is amazing. It's all part of the plan of God from the very beginning. He had a time where his disciples and his followers, and he said, look, I want to explain to you something about the presence of God that you need to get. In John chapter 14, again, our friend John, who's this theologian, this deep theologian, he says this, he records Jesus speaking, and Jesus is saying this, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. That's what it means to have a relationship with God. You love him, and because you love him, you obey him, and you follow what he told us to do so that we could walk with him. And then Jesus says this, I will ask the Father and he will give you another helper, another helper. Stop there for a second. The word another, I think I've told this before. There's two words in Greek for another. One means another of a different kind. One means another of the same kind. Like if I ask you for coffee, which I don't drink, you guys know that, and I said, I want another one, you would say, okay, you want one of the same or something different? I go, well, I want the same thing. And some of you guys are like all black, right? Or you want certain things in it. If you have the same thing every time, that's another of the same kind. If one time you want one of those fancy drinks from Starbucks, you want a Frappuccino or whatever it is, which I can't pronounce half of them. Stacy has to order from when we go. If you wanted one of a different kind, that's a different word for another. This word is the same. I want you to have another helper just like Jesus. I'm going to give you another helper just like Jesus to be with you forever. Because as a man, Jesus could only be on the earth for 33 years. So I want you to have a different helper that will always be with you. Verse 17, even the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. Then he says this, you know him for he dwells with you and will be in you. The Holy Spirit comes to live inside of us. This is not the word tabernacle. It's a different word. It's the word meno. It's a word we've talked about before from John chapter 15. It's this word where it says, I will come and dwell. I will remain there. You know why the Holy Spirit does not tabernacle in us? He doesn't put his tent down. You know what we are? We're the tent. Did you ever think about that? Paul talks about our bodies as a tent. Why? Because the presence of God comes to live inside of you. I will skip over this passage sometimes. I don't realize the miracle of that. The Holy Spirit of God comes to live inside of us so that no matter where we go, we're with God. You don't have to invite him in. You don't have to do anything but realize that God is in you. If you're a follower of Jesus, if you put your faith in him, he is inside of you so that no matter where you go, you can stop and go, I can experience the presence of God. And why is that important? Because that's where you find peace. The shalom of God, the wholeness of God, the healing of God, the love of God, the comfort of God. Just him being there changes everything. It should change our outlook. Here's what happens. If you're finding yourself worried, if you find yourself anxious, if you find yourself overwhelmed, you know what we've done? We've taken our eyes off the presence of God and put it on that thing that becomes bigger than God. Instead of just stopping and go, wait a minute. The Holy God of the universe is inside of me. And I'm simply a tent to house him for that moment here on this earth where I can see him in heaven. That's an amazing thing. You want to walk through life fully alive? Be fully present with God and connect with that. Today, if I had to say, here's some things I would suggest to all of us maybe to try to do to really understand this, here's just a few things. Number one is be intentional in being fully present with God. Being intentional means to actually think about it and to experience it. Being intentional means, okay, it's there, he's there, it's possible. Where am I right now? Maybe even at this moment, do a self-check. Do you feel fully present with God? Are you like really locked in on him? Is there anxiety? Is there worry? Is there fear? If so, recognize those things and go, wait a minute. The presence of God is in my life. As part of that, create dedicated time with God. It's what Jesus did. Take time to get away. You know, we really, really recommend everybody has a quiet time where you can get away and just say, I'm here. And God, you're here. And I sure would love to experience you. And I sure would love to have the peace that comes with your presence. And I sure would love to be overwhelmed with your presence. To really dedicate time with God. Before you go into a store, just stop and say, I know you're here, God. I want to recognize that. Before you go to work, inside the door, while you're riding in the car, turn off the radio and just be with God. One of the things I talked to Luke about is maybe as we start services to just give you a moment to be with God, just to play a little bit, and he did that today. And if you're here in the room, we suggest come a little bit early, say hello to everybody, come sit down and just be still before him. If you're online, if you're like me, I'm like that last minute trying to get online and my computer's not working. I'm starting to get anxious and it starts. Oh, wait a minute, they're already started. Start 5 minutes early. Get it going. Turn off everything around you. Put your phones away or whatever you're not looking at on the computer or however you're looking at the service, and just be still. And that's the next one. Be quiet and still before him. Because our minds are racing with everything we have to do. They're going crazy, right? Or you're worried about something or thinking about something else. Just be still and allow God to quiet your spirit so you can experience his presence. And the last thing is seek his presence. Just seek his presence. The Bible tells us to draw near to him and he will draw near to us. The Bible tells us you will seek him and find him when you seek for him with all your heart. This is what he wants. This is what he wants in the midst of Christmas. Let's be honest. Isn't this like the hardest time to connect with him in some ways? We get so much busier for some of us. We're running around doing all kinds of things. The hardest thing to do sometimes is the most difficult thing to do sometimes is the most valuable thing to do. It's just simply being in the presence of God. Remember the story of Mary and Martha? Where the one just ran around the kitchen trying to get everything ready. And Mary was just at the feet of Jesus. I'm here to worship. I'm here to connect. I'm here to be in your presence. We're going to go through this series, and each week we're going to talk about a different aspect of why Christmas. And we wanted to start with this one because I think it's the most important. To understand Jesus Christ came to this world, became one of us. He put his tent down into this world so that you and I could be a tent for his spirit and understand, experience him. To be in the very presence of God. That's a miracle. The God of the universe, the holy God of the universe, we can relate to him, we can connect with him because of the sacrifice of Jesus. What a gift. What a gift at Christmas. Jesus came so you and I could experience the presence of God. Let's pray together. Father, every moment can be a holy moment because it's spent in your presence. Sometimes I know I take just all this for granted, your grace and your mercy, that you reached out to me, a sinful person, and you said to each myself and each person here, I want to be with you, and I want my presence to be in you, because that's why you were created, to do this for all of eternity, and help us see Christmas as this turning point in history, where human beings no longer had to go to a place, they no longer had to go to a temple or a tent, a physical tent, to react with you and to know you. You made it possible for each one of us to do that on a personal level. What a privilege, what a gift. We look at Christmas, we received everything we've ever needed, everything that we ever desired, everything we were ever created for in Christ. And we are so grateful for this Christmas time. So Father, change our perspective. And may we be overwhelmed by your presence and your love and your peace and your goodness, your holiness and your mercy and your grace, the greatest things we can experience through Christ. And we pray this in his name. Amen. And we want to thank you for being with us today. We're going to continue just worshiping today and just one more song. And wherever you may be in your walk with Christ, we want to be here for you. If you have questions about how to do that, if you have things you'd like for us to pray about, we're here for you. If you're online, connect with us. We'd love to be able to help you experience the presence of Christ in your life.